Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Glad you made it through the week with us. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. And Jim, it's not often that Bill Clinton is the good martini, so everyone just kind of savor this for a moment. But the former president has actually said that it's time for the Democrats to get to work on a real plan to reduce the deficit. It was apparently backstage at some event where he bumped into House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan and said that, while I'm glad the Democrats won the special election in New York 26, I hope they don't go the rest of this entire presidential election cycle thinking that all they have to do is run against the Republican plan. I hope that won't be successful also. But it's good to see either Clinton, for pragmatic or non-pragmatic reasons, at least putting the message out there. So those folks that still like him and remember the fact that he worked with the Republican Congress to balance the budget, see him on this side of the issue. So kudos to Clinton. I won't say it often, but I'll say it today.
Yeah, and apparently Clinton also told Paul Ryan that if he ever wants to talk about this, you know, complicated issue and kind of get a little bit of more moral support, he should give him a call. I wouldn't necessarily recommend Ryan do that, since my understanding is that Bill Clinton greets every phone call with, "So what are you wearing right now?" But nonetheless, it was interesting. It was about a week ago that Newt Gingrich came out and gave the Democrats their, you know, instantly quotable attack ad line that we'll be seeing for the rest of the year, and that is right-wing social engineering. So out comes Bill Clinton, the nemesis of Newt Gingrich, who kind of comes out and who says, "I hope Democrats don't use this as an excuse to do nothing. But he says they kind of have to forsake a short-term political gain, because you can't just let healthcare costs eat up the entire economy. Like, if you and I had suddenly been able to get the Karl Rove mind control ray, you know, the one that makes Democrats do all these stupid things, and controlled Bill Clinton's words, we might not have been able to choose better ones. This is a distinct rap on the knuckles of his party of believing that you can demagogue this issue and then deal with Medicare later. That at some point this is going to have to be a mutual leap of faith, and Democrats are going to have to put forth some sort of serious plan. And I think there's no better illustration of this than earlier in the week. I think it was on Wednesday. They voted, brought up a whole bunch of budgets, and you know, the Ryan plan got some votes, the Toomey plan got some votes, the Rand Paul plan got some votes. You know, Obama plan got no votes. Right. And in the end, I believe no Senate Democrats voted for any of the budget plans. So essentially the Democrats' stance is, we shouldn't have a budget.
Hey, it worked for them last year. Oh, wait. No, yeah, it didn't. No, they lost control of the House.
If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything, or something like that. In this case, what do Democrats stand for? Nothing. They have no plan. They don't want to have a plan. Plans are easily attacked. And it's kind of the interesting argument you're seeing in some Washington circles now is any effort to try to reform entitlements doomed? Because any effort means change. Change is frightening to a lot of people. And it's just too sweet a political opportunity for the other side. Actually, when I say the other side, sometimes it's too sweet an opportunity for the likes of Newt Gingrich. Nonetheless, seeing Bill Clinton come out, and you know, that might be the bipartisan fig leaf that a Paul Ryan needs to get to the level of saying, look, if you don't like my plan, you need something better. And at this point, nobody's put anything better on the table. And that could really hurt the Democratic message, which is going to be, they're going to destroy Medicare, everything's fine, leave us in power, everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah, and they'll just destroy it by doing nothing in 10 years. And, you know, I guess the Democrats can officially take over the label of a party of no, although I should point out that that didn't work very well for them in the last Congress. And, you know, we talked about Scott Brown earlier in the week and him defecting against the Ryan plan. Ultimately, five Republican senators did. But, you know, the fact that 40 hung in there, I guess a couple weren't there for the vote. And I think for the most part, they probably would have voted for the Ryan plan. Kay Bailey Hutchison and one other that I can't remember right now. But 40 officially on record for it, 42 probably would have been. And the ones that didn't, you can pretty much expect the two from Maine, Lisa Murkowski, Scott Brown, and of course Rand Paul, because it wasn't enough. So very interesting. We'll find out if the Democrats come up with anything other than waste, fraud, and abuse over the next several months. Be very unlikely, but we'll see if they can do it. Speaking of President Obama and his 2012 run, he's, of course, overseas, visiting various countries. He started in Ireland, then went to Great Britain, where he had an official state visit. And we'll get to some of the events on that state visit in just a moment. But on Wednesday, he addressed the British Parliament. And let's just say it was not exactly equal to President Reagan's address there in 1982, where he talked about his vision for the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Here's what the president had to say about how he and David Cameron need to address things in this day and age.
In this century, our joint leadership will require building new partnerships, adapting to new circumstances, and remaking ourselves to meet the demands of a new era. That begins with our economic leadership.
Remaking ourselves for a new era should just send chills down our spine, but it's not a big surprise considering what we've seen him do over the last 2.5 years here, Jim. It's just amazing that more folks aren't appalled by what they've already seen or the fact that he's basically saying so in such brazen language.
Greg, actually, I'm going to disagree with you here. I don't know about you, but every time I hear Obama speak, I completely agree. I do want to remake our economic leadership.
Starting
away from
him.
Perhaps he doesn't really get the meaning of what he's saying. No, it reminded me when I heard this comment about a line that Rudy Giuliani used on the campaign trail back in 07 and 08. He described it as having a dream, and I'm pretty sure he didn't actually have this dream, but he said about the idea of two planes crossing the Atlantic, and on one plane were Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama trying to steer their country further to the left towards greater economic control, towards greater government control of the economy, towards statism, towards big government, towards arguably what you'd characterize as socialism. At the exact same time, on the other side, you know, Nicolas Sarkozy and Merkel in Germany, and at that point it was Gordon Brown, but now David Cameron, were all trying to move their economies further to the right to get a little loosen the binds of government, to have a little bit more free economic, at least by the standards of Europe. And so at the precise moment that that much of Europe is looking at their social welfare systems and seeing the disaster that is Greece and realizing, wow, we've bought a lot more government than we can afford. We have way too many generous things. We just can't afford this anymore. We've got to reform. We're trying to be just like them. It's rather disturbing that they're learning for the lessons of this faster than we are, and that even though it's you know, the problems of the big government, arguably socialist vision of government is collapsing in front of us, Barack Obama looks at that and says, we can be more like that and make it work.
On to the rest of his journey in the UK. And Niall Gardner of the Heritage Foundation, used to work for Margaret Thatcher, has come up with the top 10 ways that Obama has embarrassed the United Kingdom just this year alone. He said he had one for the first 2 years of the Obama administration, but had to come up with a separate list because there have been so many just in the past few months. Just in the past couple days, what we've seen are the president continuing his toast, even though the start of the British national anthem, God Save the Queen, was rolling at the state dinner. We saw him put the wrong year, 2008, when he signed the guest book at Westminster Abbey. He and David Cameron got waxed by a couple of teenagers in ping pong, adding to the list of sports that the president is not any good at. Any of these, you know, could be considered a faux pas, a stumble. But let me tell you, if George W. Bush had done any of these, particularly the stumble with the toast or the wrong year, for Pete's sake, in the guest book at Westminster Abbey, there would be no end to the jokes and the ridicule and all these people on MSNBC and elsewhere saying what an embarrassment he is. Now it's just a brief chuckle, if at all, and everybody seems to just ignore it and go on.
I saw the line about the guest book of Barack Obama writing May 24th, 2008. And for some reason, I just started flashing back to Christopher Lloyd. And I just pictured him saying, Barry, we've got to send you back to the future. You could argue that, you know, whether it's his policies or his datebook signatures, Barack Obama is behind the times. or you could argue that this is, we say that he's in permanent campaign mode. And no, really, for him, it's always 2008. A lot of people have said there's some psychological subtext to this, that he wishes it was 2008, that he wishes that he was still the blank slate. Everyone could project their desires onto him, candidate, the Obamasiah, the munificent sun king. Who everybody loved instead of the president, who's at a 40-something approval rating and running into trouble. One of the things that there's two other things that I will observe about Obama's trip this week. The first thing is, look, he goes to Ireland and he drinks Guinness and he hangs out in a bar. A guy named Jim Garrity is not going to criticize a guy for doing that. So President Obama, I'm not going to throw any stones over that. But while this is going on, back in Congress, they're voting on budget plans, and Obama's budget plan, he couldn't even get Bernie Sanders to vote for it. Tim Pawlenty, who we talked about earlier this week, is talking about the serious entitlement reform. He's talking about ethanol reform, etc. You're seeing terrible tornadoes at home, and he's had to issue a statement. He says he's going to come back and visit that as quickly as possible. You've got Netanyahu addressing Congress, and obviously a full rebuke of the Obama plan for the borders of Israel. And that pretty much a bipartisan congressional agreement that plan is dead in the water and not serious. All of this is going on, and we're seeing the president drinking beer and knocking around the ping pong table and signing the guest book, hanging out with the queen. Something the optics of this trip are not really working the way the president probably would hope. Now, obviously, maybe this will be a worthwhile trip. It's always good to check in with our allies. I understand there's a G20 meeting, et cetera. There's things that are probably going to make this trip a little bit more worthwhile. But there's a lot going on back at home, and I don't think this trip is necessarily doing Obama any favors.
No, I think he's also perhaps benefiting and suffering from the fact that those stories are clearly overshadowing the trip, so he's not getting the attention that he so desperately craves. But at the same time, a lot of these gaffes are not being noticed as much as they probably would have otherwise anyway. So, Jim, have a great Memorial Day weekend. We certainly honor those who are serving and have served, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.